welcome into MDB Media Sports Channel. Early for the fantasy show with Couch and Andrea, or Andre and Couch, Andrea Couch, is the alphabetical order. It is Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. That's right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of NDB Media Sports Production. Lots of things going on in the sporting world. Of course, we just had a weekend filled of football, and we get another dose of it again tonight with two games from the NFL. And say what you want, it's a lot of fun. Two Monday Night Football games on Monday night. I hate to admit it, but the NFL has it figured out. They spread it. Get you a little taste of it on Wednesday night, usually Thursdays, but this week it was Wednesday. And then Sunday they give you a great big taste, and then you get a little dessert on Monday. The dessert topping, the whip topping on the top of it. That is two Monday Night Football games on Monday. But interesting week one, and we'll go ahead and we'll talk about this until Andrea gets here. You know she's a baseball fanatic. So we'll talk a little bit of the NFL until she gets in, if she gets in, because I can sit up on the NFL games all day. So let's start with the big one that was last night. Hey, folks, Denver won 31-19, and I will tell you, 17 points in the fourth quarter. They didn't even see the field for 30 seconds in the third quarter. However, it was for a touchdown. That was an amazing game, by the way, up until the fourth quarter. The fact that Ben Roethlisberger kept Peyton Manning off of the field is unbelievable. And I don't know if there's, too many teams that can keep Peyton Manning off the football field. But I'll tell you right now, the Broncos did it. And it took a little while for both teams to warm up because they didn't score anything in the first quarter in that game last night. And then Pittsburgh got up on top of them at halftime, 10-7. But it was the third quarter that made the difference. The first drive of the third quarter, they held that ball for like 9 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. They only got three out of it. And then Peyton Manning comes down on the field for 31 seconds. Okay, pops off a touchdown. By the way, that was the best drive of the evening, in my opinion. How quickly it was done, it was Peyton Manning-ish. It was exactly what you expect from Peyton Manning. Ben Roethlisberger, on the other hand, he looked rusty. But then again, he always does. But he is finding, I'll tell you right now, him and Heath Miller are going to be a good hookup. And folks, if there's an opportunity to grab, if this guy is not grabbed up on your fantasy league, this is a guy that you might want to get. Heath Miller was kind of crazy last night. 4 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. Not the greatest numbers, but for a number two, couldn't have too much worse. I like Heath Miller. And Peyton Manning will be finding him, especially when he gets in trouble. And there she is. It's Andrea, the Sox fan. I kind of figured she'd be getting in here in a second. But that was an interesting game. Peyton Manning, he looked good, and he took some hits last night. I mean, Pittsburgh might have put in the question is Peyton Manning healthy? Everybody said, they want to see that first hit. The first hits, the first real hits. Are you impressed? Are you ready? Are you ready to move forward and say, hey, I want to wait until game three? Call me what you will. But all I can see, the only thing I can say is I always think about scorekeeper when especially when I think about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, never know.
You just never know what is going to happen with him. There he is. There she is, Andrea. Good morning.
Good day to you, sir.
How are you this morning?
You're talking to the right person. I called you sir, and that's not normal of me, is it?
No, not normal of you. What seems to...
I don't know. It just came out. I don't even know. It didn't mean anything. It was just random.
Yeah, just be careful next time.
I think I'm really... it must have been that sound clip you played. I think I'm trying to, like, make my own little sound clips in my mind. I don't know. But what up,
hey,
dude?
Morning.
I'm happy to talk to you today about Peyton Manning, my boy.
Hey, Peyton Manning answered a lot of questions about himself last night because he took a beating at a couple of points in that game last night.
Here's a cue. I need one of these cues so I can just push the button every time. I told you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I told you.
You know, this is only game one. Like I said, I think I want to, before I give a full, right now I'm encouraged. I'm definitely on the encouraged. I want to wait. I want to wait for three more. I want to wait for two more games. I want to see where he's at.
My question is this. What is it that you're worried about? His neck?
Yeah, exactly. I want to see. This is an injury that he had before. Well, last year he didn't play.
Nobody's had it, right?
No, they've had it. But the only problem is that usually the injury that he has had is done by young. It happens with younger folks. You know, Peyton Manning's a little bit older, although he's got that youngish looking face. He's a little bit older, and those kind of injuries happen to younger guys. I wanted to see how he reacts to it on a week to week basis, getting hit and hit. I think by week three, I'll be convinced that he's ready to rock and roll. I really
is he getting
will be.
Hit a lot? Is a deep, I watched the game somewhat. I did watch on and off, but I, you know, like I said, I can't sit and just watch a football game like straight through. Although it was a great game, I gotta say.
That's why you need red zone.
I have to tell you one thing though. The same, it's my point exactly about Peyton Manning. He's this type of quarterback that I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And just the regard that he finds. You know, you could call. He'll call a play, or a play is called. This is an example I remember from last night. And when he sees that he can't execute that particular play that was called, he finds another play. He makes
Absolutely.
A decision. He gets the job done, and he finds somebody. He doesn't have any bias. He's not the type of guy that finds a best friend on the team and throws the ball to that guy all the. You know, he finds a guy that he likes passing to, and they have good mesh or whatever. And that's not Peyton Manning. And so.
No.
That's what I do know about him. But I don't care where he goes or who he has. If there's anybody there to catch it, he'll find him. That's
Absolutely.
What I like. So he did show that last night, and I was happy. And he looks – I mean, he definitely – dude, I don't see – I just saw no sign of injury whatsoever.
Me either. And that was a good thing. And I hope good things. I'm not saying that I'm a Peyton Manning hater at all. I just want to make sure before I give the before I pick the Broncos to really take that division over there, I want to see that he's going to be somewhat healthy going into game number four. That's all. When I look at that division, if you have a healthy Peyton Manning, there's no question who wins that division. But if you kind of, depending on the injuries, how he's going to feel the next week, 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, we'll see how it affects his game. You know, 1 week is okay. 2 weeks, you know, you get a good bearing. Third week will definitely seal the deal for me. And they don't necessarily have to be wins. I just want to see how he reacts to certain things that happen to him while he's out on the football field before I call the Denver Broncos hands-down winner of that AFC West, which, by the way, if he's healthy, there should be no question that they should take that division, none.
My best friend from high school, we grew up together. She's, you know, we were best friends all growing up, and she lives in Colorado, Denver, and I actually moved there for a little while. I didn't stay long, but, you know, I like their fan base there, and I think it's a good place for him to be. I don't have any clue what the division even consists of. All I know is that I targeted Peyton Manning because I felt that he was good value in fantasy. That's all I know. And what I saw last night and what reminded me, too, is that, you know, Tim Tebow, whatever he was able to do with this club last year, we can't – even though he's a leader and he's the guy – we got to not take all the fucking credit away. Oh, I said the F word, really?
That's all right. That's fine.
See, I'm crazy. I'm saying sir and the F word. It's just not right.
No. That's perfect, especially the F word. We're all right.
Okay,
that.
Right. Yeah, it's just normal chat here over coffee. But it seems that they must have done something right, too, as far as they must have someone to get the ball to because – Tim Tebow was able to do it, and it's funny because, you know, last year they did a Saturday Night Live skit, and this is the only reason I even know this, is that about them scoring all their points in the last quarter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It kind of happened that way again. It's I mean, it is
yes.
only one game. The sample size is very small, but it was funny that it kind of fell in that. I mean, I was in my office doing work. Like, I didn't even see the whole first half of the game. I didn't see it till the third quarter. And, you know, I own Peyton Manning, so I'm looking at the points, and I'm like, the guys barely held the ball at all. I don't know if it's
mm-hmm.
the defense, you know, if their defense isn't taking care of business or what's
no,
going on.
No, it was the Steelers in the third quarter. They had the ball for the whole third quarter except for 31 seconds. That's
okay,
why
right.
he was shaking it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was like, what the heck? So then, you know, he comes out and he gets a touchdown pass. And then he got that touchdown pass for like a yard or two. I was like, that's so sweet for me because it still counts for 6 points. You know, it's just as
yep.
good as him passing 50-yard pass or whatever. But that was the play that I was talking about and referring to when they had a plan and he saw that plan wasn't going to work, so he made it happen. But I like what I see, and I like it. I killed everybody, by the way. I have the most points in fantasy. I beat my guy. I still have tonight. I have Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and
mm-hmm.
I have what's the guy? I have Gresham. And did Gresham play yesterday, or he plays tonight?
Gresham. What team does he play for?
Jermaine Gresham. Is he excited?
Jermaine Gresham, yeah. He plays tonight.
Okay, that's my other guy. So I have those two guys tonight, and I'm like 17 points ahead of my competitor this week. I have, you know, Ridley did real good. Dwyer did real good.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised Ridley did as well as
okay.
he did. I was happy for him.
Who, Ridley?
Ridley, yeah.
He's going to be pretty good, I think. Well, I mean, you know, you never know, but...
Well, I'll tell you what it does. It makes that team so much... I mean, say what you want. New England's already tough. I mean, if you got Ridley out there running the football, you're in trouble.
Right,
you're in trouble. Now he's got yet another weapon. Now he's got a running game.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. You know, these are second-tier guys. My first... Like, I hate the first-round picks. I hate them. I don't really... In baseball, the first-round picks... I mean, no first-round pick is ever going to ruin or... I mean, they're not going to win your season. They say
no.
it could ruin your season, but I don't agree. I think that the middle rounds are the most important rounds.
Absolutely.
The guys that you pick up, like the Dwyers and the Ridleys, those types of guys. And, the Jets defense, what about them? What do you think of that? It's so crazy that they do so horrible in preseason. They come out and what?
Well, it is really interesting. I don't have an answer to that because
the
Jets are right now.
Roll.
They're just, you know, that's just exactly how they roll. I don't know. The team with the biggest controversy in the NFL is the Jets, and all they do is go out and they pound it. And they just didn't win that game.
What's
they pounded the hell out of Buffalo, 48-28. And the 28 points that Buffalo has, 14 were garbage points. So, in reality, they played light defense after they got that big lead. So, in reality, it was even worse than what the score points out. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is something that the combination with, you know, all the media and all the off-the-field situations and everything else that the team...
Situation?
Oh, you know Sanchez is now dating Evan Longoria now, right?
Evan Longoria?
Or not? You got me so much into
wait a
baseball.
Wait.
Not Evan. Eva.
Wait
Longoria.
A minute. Though. We were just talking about someone's sister.
Eva Longoria.
Eva Longoria. Well, that's great for him. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No. Yeah. She's a hottie totty. No. Oh, no. I'm just saying.
Can people just be
news,
happy for a guy that gets a hot chick?
All the. What? Say that again.
Can people just be happy for a guy that gets a hot chick? I mean, what's the problem here?
That's what I'm saying. Leave the guy alone.
Shoot.
I mean, my goodness.
I mean,
you know.
Maybe they're just jealous. I can't imagine any reason why anybody would be annoyed that Eva Longoria. Do they think that it's going to make him worse?
It's just the immediate attention of what it is, you know. And
like,
that, you know.
What is it going to take away from the game?
Like the
his wonderful
need
game?
Anything else to worry about in reality. But, yes, you're absolutely right.
It can only make
him
better.
I mean,
this isn't
like
Tony Romo that we're talking about here. I mean, this guy is not that good to begin with.
Well, hold on. Tony Romo got the win and played well and did the right thing. He dumped Jessica
Simpson. Yeah, but when
Simpson,
he was dating somebody
cannot lose
hot.
The weight after this she can't lose the weight after this pregnancy. She looks
did.
Like a little balloon. And,
no, she
and
looks
she,
great. Have you seen her lately?
No, yeah, I did. Just
she's lost
as
40
of
pounds.
Last Friday. Huh?
That was on a talk show. Did you see her on a talk show?
When was
like,
this?
Well, she just had her baby.
Well, yeah, and she's like, having a hard time losing the weight. I was actually talking about this on I think on my Thursday show that I did on Couch Potato Sports Show or something like that, that, you know, Tony Romo dumped the right girl because he's got a hottie-totty newscaster down here in Dallas, and Jessica Simpson can't seem to lose the weight. I've seen the picture of her. She,
Well, you saw these pictures. They're kind of post-dating these pictures because she's got a $4 million contract with Weight Watchers, and they want to make this big, like, you know, when she comes out, and everybody's going to be surprised at how much weight she's lost, but she's been walking like 7 miles a day. She's got, you know, she's $4 million on the line here. She's lost the weight. She's lost like 30 pounds or 40 pounds.
Hey, for $4 million a year, I wouldn't eat but one time a day.
But she was talking about, and she's so funny when she talks. She just, seems very nice, but just, I can't imagine being her man. I mean, just got to be just like, want to thump her, you know? Like, come on,
yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah,
but
and that's
friendly.
Probably why Tone. Yeah, that's
she
probably
talked
why
about all the things she ate, dude, when she was pregnant. She ate everything. I mean, she ate Pop-Tarts and everything. But, okay, mm-hmm. So she knew that she was going on this Weight Watchers thing, though, so she probably even, hey, man, you have an excuse to eat for 9 months? But she was huge. She was huge.
Mm-hmm.
She said she can't run. She walks because she walks 7 miles because she can't run yet because her boobs are too big still. That's what she said.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just too bad.
That's the problem. I don't know. I mean, I've never really heard of anybody not being able to run because their boobs are that big. But, okay.
Strap those puppies in, man.
Put
Jeez
a sports
Louise.
Bra on, okay? Get some black light for your face and do whatever you got to do. Go out there. Get it done. Okay. What about, let's talk some more football, I guess, because...
Sure, you got there's lots of stuff in baseball. I thought you would go that way, but yeah,
oh,
let's talk
you
more
know,
football.
I've been ready to kill somebody all morning today because I'm about at my wit's end. I just can't stand it anymore. The media, well, okay, look, my theory is this. I don't understand for the life of me, okay, and this is the only thing I'm going to say, but I do not understand why when they figured out that they were in playoff contention, which was several months ago. I mean, the Nationals knew that they were in contention several months ago. And I have no clue in my right mind why in the world they decided not to just skip a couple starts here and there. This guy deserves to be – I mean, I'm not trying to, like, go back on my opinion the other day. But I feel bad for him. I feel bad. Well, what I said was that – he came out, they said this from the beginning, that they were going to shut him down, and that's what they meant. And they, you know, that's the decision that they made. I also said that I wouldn't have done it personally, but I'm not angry, and I don't think that the media is going about it right, because talking about how they're not going to have any fans and all the fans are going to be pissed off and all this stuff, it bothers me because I am a fan. And you just try to give a little more credit to the rest of the people in the club besides just Steven Strasburg, but I got to say, I don't think it's healthy for him. I don't think it's right. I think that it's unfair. I mean, you care about this kid, but what about his mental state? I mean, the media is out of control, so that's not their fault, but he deserves to be in a playoff race. He deserves that.
Absolutely.
And Adam LaRoche deserves it. And, you know, Jason Worth deserves it. Ryan Zimmerman deserves it. And everybody on that club deserves Steven Strasburg to be a part of that team, especially Steven Strasburg. I just don't get it. And then the media. I mean, I would fire every single one of those media hounds over there. It's not like, you know, the New York media where you have to have, like, some credentials to actually get a job. These people are, like, bottom of the – you go to Washington Nationals to write and to be the media when you're starting out. You're just barely starting out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, ready to just – drive over there and be like, I'll just take over because I could write for you guys.
Straight out, I think that it's lunacy for what they're doing. But then again, here's what the point that you made, which was really interesting, that you say that the fans, you know, the media says the fans are going to be mad, but yeah, and you're not. But you got to take yourself out of the normal fandom there, Andre. You got to take a step away from that because you are into baseball. You don't baseball is kind of like your second, you know, second life here. Okay, most baseball fans, they only see what they see on the top of the cake. Okay,
I know
that's
that.
The icing. That's the
I
icing.
Agree.
The cake is what you know. Most people know the icing. So when you're looking at it, yeah, it's a little bit different, but the fans only see what they perceive, what they think they know. But
I agree.
What they perceive they know is that Steven Strasburg is the second coming, and they don't realize they got a good pitching staff over there in Washington.
You know,
and
what
guess
I heard
what?
Today?
They won more games than what Steven Strasburg has done for them. So, you know.
The guy strikes out a ton of batters, dude. And you know what? He deserves the credit. And I looked at his numbers, his totals, and they look very good on paper. You know, it's
sure.
not that he goes deep into innings. It's not that he, you know, whatever. But he is clutch. He's clutch. And not only that, but he's like an asset to a team that pumps them up and keeps them happy and makes them everybody feel that they have something. Steven
yep.
Strasburg does that. But I you know, I try to fight for the other pieces of the club and also for the fans, because the Washington Nationals have the 13th highest attendance in baseball this year. And I've been watching this club for a couple years now, and I've been watching their
yep.
fan base grow. And it's not just this year that their fan base has grown. The people that do go to the games last year and the year before, they love it. They stand up and they cheer, and they're just happy. They don't have anything to lose. It's like a club that never gets pissed off and picky. You know, they're just happy all the time about their
right.
club. And so my point is not that, you know, Strasburg and Harper did not get those butts in the seats to begin with. But if you are a fan, and you can actually tell me that you're a Nationals fan, right, and, you know, you have had to grow to, if you do go to the games just to see Bryce and Steven Strasburg, the other players have had to catch your eye at some point. You know, throughout the season, you have to get to know the rest of the club. So at this point, I don't understand why what you said about perception. The people
mm-hmm.
just know what they perceive, and that's right. That's because it's what the media says. It's what every
that's
freaking
exactly
newspaper,
it.
When you turn on ESPN, and it's every headline. And you do know, people, that people see one headline, and every writer is writing right off of that headline, no matter anybody,
that's
whether or not it's right or wrong. You could see something that has doubled and tripled in size in 5 minutes, because everybody wants to be they're so worried about being the first guy that says it that they don't even care if it's true. The national media, they haven't said, like, things that aren't true, but they're putting it in such a bad perspective that it's making everybody feel bad. I feel horrible for Strasburg.
Oh, I do, too. And by the way, just to let you know, in journalism and everything, it is important to be the first to report it. Or
it's more important to have integrity. It's more important, and it's getting to the point where it's out of control.
There's no question about that. There's no question about having integrity.
Well, obviously there is a question.
That's the problem with blogs. That's the problem with Twitters.
That's because anybody can write it.
Anybody can put it up, and it can go media crazy, internet crazy in a matter of 5 minutes.
It doesn't mean you have to believe it. You know what I mean?
Well,
people need to be
exactly.
smarter than that, too. I've got to give, you know, some responsibility to the common public here, Joe Q.
Well, they know
I
the
mean,
difference. Some do know the difference between the blogs and actual reporting.
It's so funny because, okay, well, this isn't funny. This is what really set me off the deep end this morning, okay? I'm taking a bath, and I'm sitting and I'm reading the paper, and I have some interesting stuff I found in the Newsday, right, the Sunday paper. They have a huge sports section, but
right.
I'm listening to MLB radio, and they're talking about Strasburg, and it's just getting to the point where it's the same conversations. I know every opinion. We've all heard
absolutely.
Everybody's opinion. You can have yours. I can have mine, but we've heard – it's not. There's no new opinion out there, right, except for this one cat that calls up, okay? And I could not believe my ears. This guy says that putting Strasburg on the bench that makes the Nationals have the same quality of pitching staff that they had last season. And he goes on to start comparing the pitchers from last season. You know, a couple years ago, the Washington Nationals had the worst pitching staff in baseball by far. I mean, nobody could compete with them. The Twins couldn't even come close, okay, to being that bad. And they've come a long way in a couple of years, but to say that they have the same quality of pitching that they did last year, it's amazing to me, because Gio Gonzalez wasn't there, but he starts trying to justify it. And the one that really got me, he then compares Jordan Zimmermann to...
I knew you were going there.
Oh, freak. Okay, it was fine when you tried to tell me that Gio Gonzalez was as good as Jaime Garcia, and Jaime Garcia wasn't that good this year, but, you know, you can compare those two, and they're just okay. Well, I'm sorry, but I disagree. I think that Gio and Jaime are very good pitchers, but Gio's proved that he's a
mm-hmm.
freaking stud, dude. He's got to be
yep.
in the top five. And then he goes on to say that Kyle Roche is Jordan Zimmerman. And I started, like, at first my face was just like, I was sitting in the bath and I just couldn't believe my freaking jaw drops, and I'm looking at the thing and I start yelling at it. Now I have to stick up, now I have to say something, right, because I can take it, but now I'm like, what? You've got to be kidding me, right? Somebody please respond to him and say, like, there's no possible way that this rotation is, like, Kyle Loesch. Okay, no offense, Kyle Loesch. No offense, okay, but consistency is what we're looking at here. Consistency, right? That's the perfect word for the difference in the two, and nobody called him out on it. Nobody did. They just continued to go on about how, you know, Steven Strasburg not having him, and they should have benched him in the beginning of the season instead of benching him now because there's so much more money to be made in September. And then the other guy says, well, the Nationals probably didn't really think they were going to contend. And you know, how do you go into a season and just not think that you're going to contend? Well, why don't you go spend a couple years in Houston? You go into every season not thinking you're going to contend, okay?
I'm sitting here thinking to myself.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing because
you're picturing me, right, in the bathroom with my jaw open.
What I wish, and this is just, I wish I had some artistic ability, because that's a great comic in my, you in the bathtub with the newspaper and listening to MLB radio, and they put, you know, Jordan Zimmerman as Kyle Loesch, and just seeing your jaw drop. If I could do a comic, it would just be classic.
I pretty much have my own sitcom, dude, in baseball. I can't relate to any women very. I mean, I do. I still do my nails and my hair. I really do. I try to be a woman, but like they don't have. I have a hard time, but like I don't have anything in common during baseball season because all I want to do is talk about it. Lenny won't even talk to me about baseball anymore because we just. I mean, he's bored of it. He needs a break, right? And here's me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
he's
what,
burnt.
Dude? I found the only person in the whole world that loves baseball as much as me, dude. And now you don't like baseball anymore. Now.
Now you gotta kick him in the butt and tell him that, hey, it's the off season. You take the rest of the season off, but you better be ready to go when it comes spring.
It's November, dude. Is now. I think November is like this after the World Series, and before November is like the only break really for me. But hey, okay, I told you the Fantasy Sports Channel is back.
Yes.
And I talked to Greg Kellogg, and he said that if you want to. Do you want to do some shows with, like, he said the 8:30 slot is still available Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we could do. Lenny and I are going to do a show here and there, and he also had some other listings that were available, like an evening show here and there. But, like, Lenny and I will do baseball, and then, you know, you and me, we just talk about whatever's going on.
Yeah, we BS. We can call our show the BS show. It don't matter. Yeah, do it.
Yeah, we'll get NDB Media on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We're the only, well, there's an... And then I'll talk to the one other show that's a fantasy sports show here, too.
Okay, now, do we got to make sure do we have to stick? I mean, because we sometimes very rarely talk about fantasy.
I always talk about fantasy.
Yeah, but, you know, we kind of taper off a lot.
Trust me, dude, he wants me to stay. He said I'm fine the way I am, okay?
Good, all right.
Guess
then
what? I get to do. My birthday's on Wednesday.
Yeah, and how are you going to be, 27?
I'm going to be 30. Oh, shit. I think I'm going to be 37. Holy crap. No way. Wait, I was born in 1975.
Okay.
I am going to be 37. Oh, my God. It's not. My 20-year reunion is coming, okay? That's on the same subject line. But anyway.
It sneaks up on you before you know it. I've seen a picture of me back in 1985. I don't even recognize the cat that's in the picture.
I don't even care about how old I am. I just like birthdays. I like to have, like, you know, I'm one of those that doesn't try to ignore it because I like it. I like people to acknowledge it, too. You know, happy birthday, whatever, dude. Okay, so
no,
guess what I get to my friends?
No narcissism in that at all, right?
I don't care. I don't think it's a bad thing to get some love on your birthday one day a year. It's your day.
Yeah, that's right. One day a year. Yeah, I understand.
I try to make
most
it.
Most people don't like the attention because
I don't know
it does
why.
Bring the fact that they are getting older. That's the reason why.
It doesn't matter. You're still going to get older. So, but that's. I think that they're lying. I think they really secretly do. They just feel selfish.
Geez. No, I'm all about, you know what I'm all about on my birthday? A quiet day. At 46 now, I'm all about a quiet day. That's
a quiet day. Well, I do that on New Year's now, okay? That's pretty. That's
well,
age.
You do that for just for your health. I mean, geez, being out on New Year's Eve is almost like, playing Russian roulette anymore, man. I don't go anywhere on New Year's Eve.
Hell no. That's just asking to get pulled over, okay?
That's asking to go to jail just because you happen to have one beer too many, you know?
So I'm going to Dave Matthews in Hollywood at the Hollywood Bowl, and I'm going back to my friend from school.
Hollywood Bowl? Wait a second. Yeah. That's in California.
Yeah, well, I grew up there, you know, and one of my friends from high school.
So you're going to fly cross country to see the Dave Matthews Band.
Dude, it's my favorite band. He's my favorite ever. I always go,
I love Kool and the Gang, but it's not worth the $800 round-trip ticket from New York to L.A.
You know what, Couch Potato? It's very weird, but it costs about $200 to fly. It cost me $250 to fly round-trip from L.A.
Really?
From L.A. to JFK is the cheapest airfare you can get. It's cheaper than any airfare I could get any time of year to Florida. Any airfare I could get to Chicago.
That's
Chicago
a
is like. No, it's true because everybody's always flying back and forth. It's a bit, you know, it's popular. So, okay, but my friend's husband works for Sony, so they have all access passes. I don't even know. I don't know what. I'm so excited about it. I don't even know what to do. That's it. That's my week.
There you go. That's this week.
I might not call on Friday because I'm gonna probably still be there.
You'll probably speak, and it'll be
I'll
like
probably
the crack
just move
of dawn.
In with Dave Matthews. Yeah, I'll probably I'll probably live on the West Coast again somehow. Because I'll eat so many tacos over there that I won't even know what to do.
Yes. You still got the Filiberto hangover?
Oh, hell, I cannot wait to go to drive thru. After the concert, I'm going to go to the nearest 24-hour taco stand and get me some... I cannot wait. And then in November, I'm going to Filiberto's. But in California, they have them. They call them something different.
Yeah, it's the same.
The same taco, though.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, so that's my weekend. What else? What else can we talk about? What about Mark Reynolds?
How about Seattle?
I love Seattle.
How about the perfect game coming from Mr. Hernandez? I mean, that's crazy. That was crazy. I actually, when I heard about it, I went and there's a website. I forget where it was.
He has to pitch a perfect game to win because they can't fucking score any runs over there.
See, and that I feel bad for the guy, man. To be
he doesn't feel bad for himself, though. And
awful.
You know what? I think that gives him more credit towards being a valid Cy Young guy because, you know, to play and to have that kind of attitude, and he's always good. You know, they were.
Well, see, I got a question for you. Okay, I and the rumor is, and this is just what I'm hearing, and I could be crazy wrong, okay?
Probably not true.
It's probably, no. The reason why they didn't want to get rid of Hernandez is because they would have to give too much away in prospects. What do you mean prospects? This team hasn't done anything in 20 years. What are you talking about?
Sense?
Forget the prospects. Obviously, they're no good either.
Wait, the prospects in Seattle are good, okay?
Well,
they are good.
You say that. You say
that's
that, but once
that
they get on
the
this
only
baseball
good
team,
to
they're
give
horrible.
Up
so what's the damn difference? Bring in somebody good.
I don't understand how that even makes any sense to say that, because the only reason you could give up King Felix is if you had decent prospects, because your team is not grown. I mean, it would be more so like to let the guy go to a club that he deserves to win on before he's too old to win, you know? I mean, poor Ichiro is finally on the Yankees, and they're just going to shit the bed.
Oh, yeah. I feel bad for the guy. I really do.
Ichiro never feels bad, though. He's loved in Seattle.
You want to know why? Ichiro has already won his championships over in Japan. He don't care. I'll be honest. I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares.
He's
not a
media guy. He's not.
He wants to go out and play baseball and take his money and do what he does with it. He sends half of it to Japan, I guess, or whatever the case may be.
That's not Mexico, dude. He doesn't come from Mexico. That's not the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Case.
I didn't know.
Okay.
I thought he had the sense of
you don't send half your money home, dude. Okay,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
But still, I mean, this guy is happy as pig and slop, man. I'm telling you. He is not.
You know why?
He doesn't...
Because Seattle is the most beautiful place in this whole country to live, and I will stand testament to that. It doesn't matter. You're in the most... You're in the best place.
I don't know.
I wonder how he's adjusting to New York. Probably how I did.
Well, yeah, he's probably not familiar with the sun. I mean,
what do you mean? You're out of your mind,
listen,
dude.
I've been to see. I used to work for Alaska Airlines. One of their big hubs was
okay.
in Seattle. Every time I flew in there, which was often because they had meetings that I had to go to, and I'd from Phoenix hop the flight to.
You know that there's freaking tornadoes here in New York.
The weather here is
way worse.
Is it?
Yeah,
but
it very rarely snows in Seattle. It doesn't snow. It doesn't have tornadoes. There's no hurricanes. It doesn't flood.
Well, that's true. By the way, I was worried about you. I thought about you and the Godfather
when I seen
those tornadoes. I mean,
somehow they never hit here. Do you remember last year the tornado that was coming up the East Coast?
I was worried about you then, too.
Well, the freaking electricity never even went out, okay? I don't even know. I was waiting for some. I was seriously worried, man. I'd never seen anything. I didn't even know tornadoes come to this part of the country. I thought it was like in Wizard of Oz area,
It was the first time I had ever heard of it, too. And I don't know. Maybe I had my head in the sand, but that's the first time I ever heard of a tornado in New York.
They said this is new. They didn't used to come here.
Yeah. They said free.
But
maybe,
now there's tornadoes and hurricanes.
You get the remnants of the hurricane, yeah.
Well, I'm on a freaking little skinny-ass island, okay? Like, I could get from the top to the bottom of the island in, like, 20 minutes.
I saw that picture of the tornado over the ocean, and it just amazed me. I mean, it's, you know, I've seen tornadoes, and I've seen plenty of I used to live in Tornado Isle, Tornado Isle, man.
Like Georgia.
Yes.
I mean, not Georgia, but like Tennessee,
Texas, Illinois,
New Orleans,
Missouri, and all those cities or states. You know, I've lived in
Texas.
And Texas gets them too.
You don't get tornadoes. You get dust balls.
Oh God! Yeah. Just last year we had three of them floating around Dallas, and they were worried it was going to rip through downtown Dallas.
See, here they're wet tornadoes, which makes them hurricanes. Okay.
Well, yeah,
it's a tornado in the sea.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool though. I'm sorry, I saw it
and I
thought
it was cool.
I know how devastating it was. But I thought it was cool. Anyway, New York, how about New York, okay? In the last month and a half, they let a 10-game lead go to one game now over that. It's amazing.
And
what
you saw CeCe last Friday night, CeCe, or Saturday night, it was CeCe Sabathia.
He's awful. Is he awful or is it just me?
I've been telling everybody that he's hit his peak, dude, several years ago, but he's still a good quality pitcher, and he's their best pitcher, but they're really now that the New York media is just like praying for Andy Pettitte to come back, and he's going to
call him
the 1A pitcher instead of the 2 pitcher.
And Andy Pettitte's not pitching well either. Okay, he's just not. But,
he actually has been.
I think you know what's happening to the Yankees, and it took some time.
They can't hit.
Age is catching them. They can't hit. The injuries are catching up with them, and the pitching now with the Phil Hughes, this guy should be automatic. He is so inconsistent, it's unbelievable.
Hughes, though, because Hughes had that one great year when they took him from the bullpen, made him a starter, and then ever since then unanswered injuries.
It's the same thing, why mess with success? If they come out of the bullpen, leave them in the damn bullpen. They don't need to be started. Same thing down here in Texas, they do
that.
Well,
they need a starter, dude. Everybody's got a problem with starters.
Yeah, I get it, and I understand it. But here's the thing. Right now, I'm looking at the three teams over there, and I actually really looked into this on Saturday after our shows, okay? I had a lot of time to blow.
Right.
And I looked at this. Yankees aren't good enough this year. They're not going to. They may not even make the playoffs.
There won't be two wild cards
right
now.
Yeah, I know. Baltimore looks. I don't know how. I just don't know how they're doing.
It's because they hit, dude.
They're doing it, but they hit. But
they hit like crazy. They have Adam Jones.
The normal teams that have not been there, they usually die out, and they seem to be.
If he doesn't get MVP, dude, he's got to get MVP.
That might be Buck Showalter as far as, the club is concerned. And then you got Tampa Bay. They never give up. And I'm telling you right now, Longoria.
They're pitching
and Longoria is beginning to get his bat back. the Yankees, maybe, and I'm not saying they are. I'm still picking as far as the teams. Okay, one of those teams are going to win the division champion, and one of them are going to make the wild card. I just don't think it's Baltimore. I don't have enough confidence in them because they've never been there. However, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. That is a crazy division over there in the American League East.
So is the American League West. Okay, but here, I was going to bring up Brian Braun for a minute because you made me think of him when you brought up Evan Longoria because he's such an asset. I remember at the beginning of the season we had a lot of discussions about Brian Braun and his supposed steroid abuse and all this stuff. And the guy is, okay, he's hit, I think, 38 home runs now, okay, and he's, let's see, the only other, I mean, this is record-breaking, 38 home runs, and then he's also the only, I want to say, he's the only Brewer to ever have 4 100 RBI seasons. So what now? I mean, people kind of just brush over it because it's not big news anymore. But if you really think about, you know, the way that you felt at the beginning of the season, and it's hard to say that it's hard to actually, you know, sit there and believe that he wasn't on steroids. I mean, of course he's not on steroids. Nobody's on steroids, and, you know, as far as they're concerned, but except for the guy that makes up a website, and then that was not a good way to go about it. So you might, you know, anyway, there's a lot of people that really didn't.
I could have done it.
So we have to, at this point, give a little bit of credit to the fact that there is a chance that this guy wasn't lying.
You can say what you want. He used the scapegoat, and I know it's good, and he's you know.
I'm happy. I think it's great that he did.
I'm glad he did because, like I said, I don't think steroids is as big as everybody seems to make it. So, but that's
well, it is if you have to stop doing it. It is if you are used to doing it, and then all of a sudden you have to stop. It really can mess with your game.
Well, yeah, but
you would notice.
Here's the thing. The only thing about Ryan Braun, and I'm glad he got the MVP. I just wanted him to defend himself that I didn't take it. No, instead, he used a different type of loophole, and that's the only thing that bothers me about
him.
However,
oh, he got MVP
last
year.
I do like the guy, and frankly, I'll be honest. I think I'm like most of the population. No one cares.
Yeah, they do, though. They sure as hell care.
Well, when it comes to the MVP,
they
care. It's just, you know, fans are so hypocritical. You know, when it comes to the MVP, they care. But in general, most fans don't care.
They would care because they want something to bitch about.
Yeah.
Right now they got Strasburg, you know. And it is funny that we don't hear a lot of news about how well he has done this year. And it is kind of it's like time will tell and time has told. So whatever it is. You know, Ryan Braun's had a fabulous year, so we got that going.
Quietly, you know. Man, Baltimore, I mean, I was looking this up. Baltimore, listen to this. Baltimore's 24-7 in one-run games. 24-7. You know what that is? That's record-breaking, folks. That's a record. And
but it doesn't matter. It's a win.
Exactly. No, it's a record, and that's something to keep your eye off. And here's another thing, just really quick. Baltimore Orioles have had 11 starting pitchers this year. 11. That's unheard of. It's almost as bad as what's going down here in Texas. They have had a lot of starting pitchers. They had like 8 or 9 starting pitchers here in Texas. Those are a lot of starting pitchers, you know. That's a lot of injuries. That means you're and never mind Baltimore shooting youngsters up and down from the minor leagues to the majors, back and forth. You know, and I don't know. The method of
people
madness
would tend
that
to say
Buck
that
Showalter does there, I don't know. But somehow it's working, and I don't know why.
I know people are giving Buck Showalter a lot of credit, but hey, this is a team that's had 14 straight losing seasons. So I don't know if Buck Showalter. But what I do know is that people would tend to say that because they only win by one run, that they're not as good as clubs that win by more run. It's run differential, and that's fine and all, but run differential very rarely, in my opinion, has a lot to say about the club, except for the fact that they get it done. Because what it says to me is that here's a club that may not have all the talent in the world, but when it counts, they get it done. It's clutch.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and that may make them a better team than the other clubs.
I'm telling you right now, clutch means a lot when you're talking for all that matters, football, because you said the same thing. If you look at a football schedule, a classic example, okay, in reality is the Cincinnati Bengals from last year when you think about football. I mean, this team barely won football games, but guess what? It's a W in the left-hand side column when you're figuring out who's winning and who's not. It's a W. It doesn't matter if you win by 100. It doesn't matter. You win by one, and that marks as a W in your column, and that makes you closer to what you're trying to get to. And say what you will. Guess what? Run differential doesn't mean jack when it comes to a one-game playoff to make it into the playoffs, okay? You're making a wild card and there's a one-game playoff. That don't mean anything. What you need is you need clutch batters, clutch players in order to get it done. And Baltimore just may squeeze that by. And let me tell you something. As soon as that one-game wild card is done, okay, and someone wins by one, there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of belly aching. You mark my words. People will be bitching about that one game, and then it'll turn into a three-game series. Watch.
I'm reading over some notes here that, you know, I took that I wrote down that I thought would be interesting to mention, and I have been talking. I don't know if we talked about Anthony Ghost, but I think I've mentioned him several times. I've owned him on. I drafted him at the beginning of the season. He was someone that I started looking at last year because he steals bases and hits home runs. Or
right.
Has a potential to. Him and Trayvon Robinson were two guys that I was kind of like watching for. They don't get a lot of talk, but Anthony Ghost, he went 2-for-4 with his 14th steal in 33 games, okay? He also had a grand slam.
Right.
And that was just on Saturday. And he strikes out a lot, but if he can stop striking out so much, dude, this guy is going to be fantasy gold. That's all I want to say about Anthony Ghost. It's interesting, too. Here's another Jordan Zimmermann, okay? People would think I'm in love with him, and that's fine because he's not a hideous-looking guy. I mean, although I'd much rather be in love with Clayton Kershaw because he's way hotter.
Let's just say you've dated uglier, right?
Oh, for sure, dude. I've been in love with uglier. For that. There's no question, dude. I mean, shoot. But in the NL, Cy Young, you know, and I told you I was going down to the Nationals game with Jordan Zimmermann for Cy Young, okay? Well, somehow I lost my shirt, and I that's why I went into that whole rage about trying to find another replacement shirt. But anyway,
did you lose your shirt?
Well, I made a shirt to take with me to the Nationals game
that
said Zimmermann
for
Cy Young,
yeah.
2012. Okay, I wanted everybody to think about it at least. Okay, and I thought about even putting it right on my boobs because that would be the best way to get the message across. Okay.
Yeah, at least get the attention.
I put it on the back, but either way, I didn't get to wear it. So the two guys that they talk about for Cy Young this year, and you know, the numbers.
I guess it depends on how big your boobs are, but yeah.
They're good size. They're not like Jessica Simpson or anything, but they're okay. Let's see. Johnny Cueto, who I don't know why. Is this another Joey Votto for me? I cannot stand him, and I don't think he's a good pitcher. And I keep trying to convince people that he's not. But he keeps coming off with these crazy numbers. But he still allows so many base runners, dude. Last year I didn't like him because he had this crazy good ERA, but he pitched like the least number of innings to get that ERA. Like you're comparing him to a guy that's pitched 200 innings and he's pitched 100 innings, and you're going to try to tell me that he's, because his ERA is just as good, that he's just as good of a pitcher, and I have never seen him pitch 200. I mean, I've never seen it. So whatever, and plus I didn't like the way that he fought that one time when he started kicking people with his cleats on. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Maybe that's why I hate
him. Because, you know, sometimes you can say what you want about players, okay, whether you like them or not, but when their actions speak louder than what they're...
That was instinct, okay? That reminds me of a type of guy that would be... Oh, and the year before that, he was suspended for using steroids. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And people don't like that nonsense.
Well, not when
you
like, are trying to be that shady. It's like okay... So Johnny Cueto moves into second in the National League earned run average, okay, behind R.A. Dickey. So here's our choices for NL Pitcher of the Year, when literally the NL kills the AL in pitching. We all know that. I mean, their pitching
right.
is better. And
right.
We got Johnny Cueto with, okay, four earned runs, 10 base runners, 6 strikeouts, and he moves into second behind R.A. Dickey. ERA is fine, people, but ERA is like saying run differential, or ERA is like saying, you know, it's like saying if you have a not great batting average that you're a crappy asset to a team, you know, like what we were talking about before, it's on-base percentage. If you could still get on base, but this guy, and I just wonder, and I still don't believe that it's out of the question if Jordan Zimmermann can get it through. I mean, the Nationals have their make or break right now. I hope they can maintain through the media hype and all the crap that's being talked. But if Jordan Zimmermann comes out and does well, then he will, you know, they do, it seems, don't they wait, do they wait until playoffs to choose Cy Young, or do they do it before playoffs?
Oh, no, I thought they did it after the season.
I'm pretty sure
or
that
after, the, I mean, after, I thought they announced it after the World Series and everything.
Oh, no, it's not that far into it. I can't remember if they decide before the playoffs start so that they're not biased, but I think that every year it gets, there's a little bias just because, you know, you made your club better. So
I think the votes are tallied before, but it's not announced until after. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, and I might be thinking of something where someone said something that I thought was true, you know.
Why isn't there a permanent stat, like an everyday stat, you know, like strikeouts and ERA and whip? I mean, if whip can be a stat, then why in the world isn't, you know, runners on base a stat? I don't care. If you allow a bunch of runners on base, that's the first sign of a not a good pitcher. Your whole job is to keep runners out of scoring position. So
yes,
there's a lot of pitchers out there, like Johnny Cueto, okay, who give up a lot of base hits or whatever he does. There's runners on base constantly, okay, for whatever reason. Now, I know
right.
that, you know, your defensive people around you, they can hurt your stat in that way, but they can also hurt your stat in wins if they can't hit. So whatever, wins is still a category. So why isn't this a category that people look at? How many base runners are these pitchers allowing on base? Do you think that's a valid point?
I think it's a valid point, but we all know that when it comes to pitching Cy Young, it goes to the other ones. I agree, though. I agree.
But if we're really going to think about it, you know, that's just something to think about when you're trying to analyze how good a pitcher is.
Those awards have always been crappy to hand out anyway, in my personal opinion. First of all, I don't see the need because there's always everybody. Someone's going to argue or bitch about the fact that they didn't get it. That's one of the reasons why I don't care about Cy Young. I'll just look at the stats and say, well, he's a good pitcher. I don't need some experts to tell me who's a good pitcher and who's not. All I got to do is look at the stats. All I got to do is watch the guys play. To me, it makes no sense. Now, I understand the importance of it and why people like it and all that. But to me, just because
when you watch
pitcher,
somebody pitch, you can tell so much about them just by watching them pitch. If you read stats,
like
that's fine and all.
Last year.
Stats are stats, but if you really learn a lot about the quality of a pitcher more so than by watching him. And sometimes it's frustrating for me because I watch him and I know that I see something, but then I have to go digging for stats to figure out what it is that I'm seeing, you know, that isn't right. And, you know, eventually I'll find it somewhere. That's what stats are good for anyway. But check this out. Check it out. Justin Morneau, okay. This guy's a freak, though. He's a freak show. He's a freak show, dude. Two for four with three RBIs. Okay, 2 for 4 with 3 RBIs and 2 home runs. What up, Justin Morneau? Like, you're healthy? I didn't even know you were back.
Where's
what,
Coffee?
When
he's not in the chat room.
Oh,
by the
God.
Way,
he'd be killing me.
I sent you a thing. I need you to call me after the show. Where's Coffee and his Justin Morneau love?
I don't know. I think somehow I don't think Coffee likes me anymore. I don't know where I went wrong. I thought we had a love-hate relationship, but apparently he doesn't like me. I don't know. He doesn't talk to me anymore.
It might be a combination because he don't come in my show either. He only goes into Indie Media Sports Talk with the guys anymore.
he might have
ran him away.
Good.
Well, maybe,
I'll take
you know
credit.
What it is? Maybe we've proved him wrong so many times that he's probably sick of being reminded that he's always wrong.
No, how about this? Did you notice he didn't show up after the All-Star break? Maybe his team sucks so bad that he can't really justify himself anymore. His fantasy team is so bad. He's hiding.
He's hiding, yeah.
When your fantasy team is bad, you just have to buck it up. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of stats that you can use to you know, to back up why you did something.
Right.
When in doubt, find a stat.
That is your new motto.
I have a couple
too,
right?
Find a stat.
Find a stat.
I'm going to call Lenny and tell him you said that. That's a good one. I said, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to warn him ahead of time. When you make a good point about someone, she's just going to shoot a stat at you.
I will, and you give me enough time, I will find a way to make it look not right.
To make your point look good. I get it.
I will
understand.
Find a way to make Joey Votto a bad baseball player, okay? One way or another.
That's becoming hard for you, isn't it?
Oh, I have to laugh at it. That's what I'm saying. When you make a mistake, you got to buck up because if everybody knew the answers, then. Oh, and here's something funny about you footballers. Look, man, fantasy football is outrageous, and I'm not going to. I have to not knock it because it's, you know, pretty much 80% of fantasy sports in general. So I got to roll with it. But I find it so funny because when you're on the show or you're, you know, when you're doing a podcast or you're whatever, people ask questions on Facebook. And it's like, in baseball, it really takes, to answer questions, you feel like you're actually doing something with your knowledge because you're, like, analyzing what you've seen and you can take stats and whatever and pump them out. But in baseball, there's a lot of different aspects going on and a lot of things. And
right.
So in football, when people ask a question to an expert, all they do is type into their computer the name of the person they're asking about, and they get the same exact information that you would get if you typed into your computer, and you would find out today if on profootballweekly.com.
Yes, it's my favorite football website.
It's very good, and I got to say that pretty much every expert I know, that's where they get your answers. So you don't even waste your time waiting for some expert to answer the phone or call you back or whatever. I know it's kind of fun, but just go to Pro Football or Pro Football Weekly, right? And then you'll be an expert. Now you're an expert. All they do is they say exactly what it says on Pro Football Weekly, which is something that a lot of sites do not offer. And it actually says, you know, it's very good for daily leagues because it tells you the how well they do against the club that they're playing and how well they do against, you know, the quarterback or the, you know, the situation that they're in. And it just lists a bunch of stats, like Albert Pujols has hit, you know, Clayton Kershaw this many times, and he's gotten this many homers and this many hits. And a lot of times you'll see that they do run in – they run in unison, like they'll have either a real good batting average or a real crappy batting average. So
You mentioned Pro Football Weekly because in 2 weeks I got Eric Edholm, senior editor from Pro Football Weekly, on my show. I have him on my show all the time. He's so cool.
He is?
And,
I don't even know anything.
Eric
I'm still
Edholm,
trying to figure out who Razzball is.
Go check my podcast in the back. I've had him on the show like 5 or 6 times. He's so cool and
great,
he's so
good.
Knowledgeable.
Tell him that we're talking about him out here.
Absolutely. Oh, I am. I'm going to tell him. And I might grab him early in the morning, see if we can get him on live early in the morning when we're talking football. This guy knows football. At one point, he was just doing the NFC East. Now he's doing all the NFC. So he knows the AFC. He's not stupid. That's just his title.
His site is wonderful. It offers stuff that other sites don't. It doesn't cost any money. So all you people
absolutely.
Out there,
and
you know,
not
helps.
Only that, they have a radio show that they put on, which is really good at the same time because you get a lot of information about a lot of things, and it runs, you know, about a half hour, 45 minutes, depending on what they're talking about and everything else. It's a good show. Take a listen to it. I love Pro Football Weekly. It's one of my favorite places to gain information. So,
well, you know,
crap.
We search and search, and that's part of the problem. That's part of the reason why people just call up and ask, because you could search all day and night on the internet, and, you know, there's a billion websites, and there's, you know, a handful that are going to give you the information that you're actually looking for, and it can get very frustrating. But, you know, I've searched and I do it almost on a daily basis, always trying to find new things. But you get a couple that you rely on, like, you know, every single day I look at RotoWire and Razzball every single day, and that gives me enough information. But for football, it's that one. And I mean, I should be talking about Fantasy Pros 911, but I got to say, I mean, Pro Football Weekly is a very good site, and those are hard to find. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't mind. I love to share those things with people for sure.
Yep.
Whatever.
There's
a billion websites
out
to go to. They all think they're right.
But here's the good thing about Pro Football Weekly. They have a section on there in their fantasy league, but they are constantly updating it.
They come out with the depth charts in the daytime quicker than anybody.
Injury reports sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. I mean, they are on top of it, folks. I'm telling you. So they had the right before the game for fantasy people. I mean, this thing pops out and they are already set and ready to go with your injuries that are going to be for this upcoming week. They let you know what's going to happen, and you can make your better decisions that way. Fantasy Pros 911, I've always gone to their website. I always read their stuff. It's the
connection. For what? Now it's actually Paul Greco 911.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree with Paul Greco, then you probably aren't that much of a fan of Fantasy Pros at this point. Sorry, Greco, but that's the truth.
Yeah, there.
It's premium Greco's picks, and that's what Lenny and I got into a huge fight about before that draft that day, dude. He wanted to use Greco's rankings, dude, and I'm like, hell no, we're not using Greco's rankings because number one, they haven't been updated since April. Okay, kind of important, right?
Yeah.
Well,
depending on who you believe, man, you know, Adrian Peterson, people said stay away from him. And what did he just do? He just ripped off 120 yards and 2 touchdowns or some crazy numbers like that yesterday.
Why do people do this, though? Doesn't experience count in football?
Say again?
There's no dedication. There's no commitment. There's no love. What's the word I'm looking for?
Loyalty.
Hello, I mean, when people have done something, when you have an Albert Pujols that have proven this over and over, and you want to go out and pick Arian Foster instead of Adrian Peterson, why? Because he had an off season. If you think Peyton Manning is now worth, you'd rather have his brother Eli now all of a sudden because he happened to win a Super Bowl, but he will never have the talent that Peyton does. That's my opinion.
Well, the situation with Adrian Peterson is,
what
frankly,
about Chris Johnson?
Adrian Peterson, though, he's in a franchise that is known for making stupid mistakes. Okay?
He's been in that franchise ever since.
No, exactly. And that stupid mistake was in week 16 in a meaningless game. He was in a football game that he had no business in, and that's the reason why. Chris Johnson, that guy, I think he had 4 yards yesterday.
Still.
I forget. His stats were ridiculous. Nothing.
Yeah, well,
unless,
you know what?
Unless he blew it up in the second
Arian
half
Foster
and I
didn't
see
have a good
it.
Day.
Who?
Arian Foster.
He didn't have a great day. You're absolutely
no,
right
No, he had
about
like
that.
30, what? He had like not even 100 yards?
Well, here's what.
Is 100
Chris
yards
Johnson,
a lot?
Chris Johnson had 11 carries for 4 yards. And
well,
actually, I think Arian Foster.
20 yards.
I think he got more in the passing game yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And you get the points for that anyway. But here it is. I'm looking at it now. Arian Foster, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns, which is crazy good. And then they got him, I think, in the passing game. Let me look here. They didn't get him in the pass. But still, Arian Foster, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, it's okay he didn't get the 100 yards.
Oh, he did
it
real good.
Touchdowns.
He did way better than I thought he did. But
yeah, he got the 2
still
touchdowns,
answer my
which
question,
make up for the 100. Yeah,
my
so.
Question is better. I understand that football has injuries that could, in careers. And I guess beyond that reason, mm-hmm. why is it that every year nobody has faith in the guy that's, has proven that he can do it year after year? It's always Ray Rice this year, okay? Ray Rice is fine and all, but he's been basically just a name up till now. All of a sudden, now he's in the top 4 draft picks.
Well, if you've been watching Ray Rice for the last 3 years, you should have some love
Wait
for
a minute.
Him in your fantasy.
Did Ray Rice, wasn't he supposed to be the number 1 and Willis McGahee was supposed to be the number 2 and Willis McGahee had like more end zone carries and touchdowns than Ray
Rice?
Well,
that was like 4 years ago.
No, but then, no, because Ray Rice, well, no, I only started playing football in 2009.
Okay, so 3 years ago.
Okay, so then as soon as Willis McGahee left, then Ray Rice started getting the ball? Is that maybe Ray Rice isn't the one I'm questioning. What about the guy from Philly that now?
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, that's the one. What about Jeremy Maclin? No love for Maclin? Why is
Oh,
LeSean
I love Jeremy
McCoy
Maclin,
getting...
but he's a wide receiver.
Why is McCoy all of a sudden this number one running guy?
Because the other running back retired. Forget his name.
Just
because
he
not...
retired? But Michael Vick doesn't throw all that often. He will run, too, just as fast as you.
Well, that's because they're trying to make Michael Vick more of a pocket passer first, more so than running. Michael Vick's known to run first, then pass.
Wouldn't it make Macklin more valuable too?
Not necessarily. No, if you're going to have a running quarterback, he's going to take yards away from you. Jeremy Macklin's a wide receiver, by the way, dear.
I don't care what he is. He's still somebody retired. He gets more carries.
Yeah, that's LeSean McCoy.
So does Macklin, man.
Macklin is the wide receiver.
So what? They're all still out on the field at the same time. If you take one away, there's only three left. That means all three, you know, there's still a tight end, a wide receiver, running back. Vic still does pass to the wide receiver every once in a while, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. And he did the other day. I mean,
Macklin. I think he's underrated. That's my point.
Hey, he is. Hey, you check out my podcast. You listen to what I've been saying about Jeremy Macklin for the last 3 days, 3 years.
Chaz and I were fighting over him the first year I played.
It's because DeSean Jackson is supposedly the number one wide receiver in that team, and he's just a punk thug, and I can't stand him. But what I was hoping for 2 years ago is he'd take that step. He didn't take it. He made the steps to take over last year, and he had a real good game, 96 yards and a touchdown.
I just find it interesting that here's this guy in LeSean McCoy, and that's fine. He hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't been great. And that's the target now for the top five draft pick. Now, all of a sudden, but Philly hasn't done crap in like 5 or 6 years. Even before that, they weren't doing crap. And, I mean, they can't ever make it. They don't ever get to the Super Bowl.
Well,
and
they find excuses. That's
they
what,
find
that's
a way
the
to lose. Yeah,
yep.
They find Andy Reid finds a way to lose. And I just felt that I was just intrigued by LeSean McCoy. I didn't even have time to look past that, but I definitely knew that I didn't trust it. I would have rather had Adrian Peterson or Chris Johnson. That's just because, not just because you know the name, but just because you know that they have been number ones before.
Yeah, but the thing with Chris Johnson for the last 2 years, he's just been ridiculously horrible.
I know
horrible.
He hasn't. He's been
ridiculously horrible. Adrian Peterson, on the other hand, he had an injury. He should not even be back yet. I mean, if you go by the injuries, this guy wasn't. He should not have even taken the field. Never mind go to training camp. This guy should not have even taken the field until October. So you know, that's one of those things. He rehabbed it very well, and he proved all the critics wrong. I said the same thing. I said, I'm not going to take the chance on Adrian Peterson. You know, first of all, he's not going to start week one. Well, that blew that away. Second of all, if he does start week one, he's only going to get 10 carries. Well, that blew that away.
He dropped out of the first round, couch potato.
Oh, yes. He even went to third round in a couple of leagues
if
I was watching.
If he goes to third round, you've got to be crazy to not get Adrian Peterson.
Man,
people are drafting guys that are missing the first week, and then it's like, oh, he might miss the second week. It's like, I mean, you have to really think about how many weeks this guy's going to miss or whatever guy you're talking about, and then figure out if they're going to be able to make up the number of points that you would have had if you picked a 10th round guy, you know?
Absolutely. And another thing as far as the NFL is concerned in what you're talking about as far as running backs, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew was in that contract negotiation problem. He just whipped off 77 yards. He didn't get in the end zone, and that was because of it's a new offense. But, you know, for a first game back, not having training camp, not doing OTAs, this guy literally almost just stepped on the football field and says, give me the ball. Maurice Jones-Drew.
He's an interesting guy. You know, he's
an interesting
guy.
He's a fantasy guru. That's why you like
right.
him.
Right. That's the only reason I know him. But
yeah.
I never have drafted him because he's, I don't know, kind of shady as far as putting up the points that you draft him at. He always goes in the first round. Well, I don't know if he did this year, but
Last year, this guy went off crazy on the worst team, and it's my team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I admit it, they were horrible last year.
I like
and
listening
they
to him, though, because he has a good insight, you know, as a player. He has a different perspective on talent.
Yes.
So
It's good to hear him. I think he's on Sirius, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he's on Sirius, and he's a very nice guy. He doesn't try to act like he knows everything. He just says what he knows, and then he's not like trying to act like, you know, if, you know, I know all the answers, so root for me, whatever. I know everything. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, the Jaguars let one slip away yesterday. I mean,
there isn't a good. Who do you think is the best team in football? The New England Patriots?
Who do I think is the best team in football?
Yeah, I
want to
know.
New England Patriots, I've always thought was the best team in football
every
for the
year,
last
right?
3 years. Yeah,
every
for the last
year.
last 3 to 4, yeah. And then followed
they
closely
lose.
By number 2, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, you know, they're just the best teams.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have problems, too.
Now they do. They definitely showed their age last night.
When did they have problems?
Huh?
I know the Pittsburgh Steelers were always known when I first, I mean, when even before I ever played fantasy, the Steelers were always known for having a good defense, okay?
Right, mm-hmm.
And Roethlisberger, you can't say that he's, you know, a bad quarterback. He's pretty darn good, actually. And
he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, folks. And I called it back on my first show back in February 2009. I said Ben Roethlisberger is going to win multiple Super Bowls, and then he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I got
well, right now,
he
better do something crazy good because people are too busy worrying
about
what
that's
chicks
talent's
he's with.
Around him. I mean, he unfortunately, he's a victim of age. He's a victim of talent that's slowing down. He's,
and he's
a victim of a lot
of
things.
Women, dude. He's a victim of target. He's a target for women to accuse of bad things, and that he sets himself up to be in bad situations. And I
well, that part
that
you're
has
right
nothing
about.
To do with football, but it does.
Well, it does because that will
judge him
probably
on that.
Have an influence on when and if he gets into the Hall of Fame. And I'm telling
absolutely.
You, he should be. Matter of fact, this guy that I'm telling you, he is so damn good, he should be first round.
What's so good about him?
Yeah, he's a winner. I mean,
you
he finds a way to
night?
Win. He's got that, you know, everybody talks about the it factor. He
yeah,
has
he
that
does.
Factor. He's always had it. And guess what? You know, you can throw for 5,000 yards, but it doesn't matter if you don't win a Super Bowl.
And
I
it
mean,
sucks
come
when
on.
You have people that can't catch a ball. I thought I was watching Sean Green last night, dude.
Absolutely.
I could not believe it. And then they pretend they're hurt, like, to get your eye. No, man, you dropped the ball way before that guy crushed you.
Yes. I mean, unfortunately, and Ben Roethlisberger, he'll carry that on his shoulder too.
That's
not only is
he
a
is
stud,
a good quarterback.
Not only is he a stud, he is the type of quarterback that you and not, he did it as soon as he walked out on the field as a rookie. I've seen it in this guy. You know who he reminds me of, and I hate to say it, the quarterback. John Elway, the guy who hired Peyton, who was just as good as Peyton. In his day.
Well, that's
who he reminds me of. And if you're going to be reminded and you're going to be compared to a John Elway, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, and you're going to be a great quarterback, and you're going to have a great career. And he is. But you're right. The off the field problems might have a say in when.
I don't even think that he's guilty,
fame.
Dude, of any of that. To be honest with
no,
you,
he's not.
That's
you
my
know
opinion.
What he is? He's a victim. Yeah, he's a victim of greedy, money-greedy women. And like I said, when it happened, if you're a woman and goes into the men's restroom and you don't know what's going to happen
hello?
Afterwards, you're just stupid.
Yeah, why is it his fault, dude?
Yeah,
I mean, what else are you going to do in there? You going to pee in the urinal?
He's
I mean,
just a man.
Shit. Of course, he's singing with his pee-pee. And then he turned around and did it again because now it's like Kobe Bryant. You know that people were targeting him. Chicks were just waiting for the minute they could get him, you know, in a bad situation.
Oh, yeah.
Roethlisberger,
what did
it happen
once? He's a man. He fell to it. And not only that, his wife, Kobe Bryant's wife, she's a genius. You know, after the first one in Colorado, that big problem, he buys her a $6 million ring. That wasn't forgiveness. That was business. And then after the 10 years of marriage, she dumps this guy off, and she's going to get half his shit.
Well, I don't know, man. But
she is a genius.
You know, too, this is something to think about from a girl's perspective, just because I know chicks and how nasty they can be. You know, sometimes when you hear about these girls and they come out, they sell their pictures to the media or whatever, not that they went into the situation thinking that, but they get their feelings hurt because the guy doesn't want to have anything to do with them, and now they're pissed.
Uh-huh.
And that's their way to get them back because they were walking out of here.
Stand.
Maybe they feel dirty or whatever. I don't know why. If you're going to do it, just enjoy it, okay? And then live your life. Do what you got to do and live your life, okay? But don't try to ruin somebody's life.
Be a man and just forget about it, right? Be a man
and
just forget about it.
They say all media is good media, but I beg to differ that these chicks are doing any favors for their lives, because
it's
once the money runs out, whatever they're going to get, they still have to go find a job. They still have
If they're smart, and most of them aren't, okay? Remember, they're putting themselves in this position, so they can't be smart in the first place, okay?
Number one,
but
dude, a one-night stand isn't going to get you rich.
They bank the money they get and live the rest of their life off of it. But they're not smart. They're just like some of these football players that you're hearing are broke. Right? You know, Terrell Owens over his career made over $80 million and he's broke. Come on.
You know that
you deserve
coach
what you get.
What's that coach that came out and said? God, he had such a good speech. It's like, we let him win. We didn't show up that day. What is his, like, light-skinned black guy? And he's, like, a speaker now, and he does – I think he used to be an Indianapolis Colts coach, if I'm not mistaken.
Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy, okay.
Yeah.
He's cool, but he does some, you know, motivational speaking to young recently drafted and into the NFL, when you get drafted into the NFL and they send you to training camp or whatever, and he does a big talk about how you don't need 5 cars, just get 1 good car. You know, you don't need 8 houses, just get 1, because football is the type of career that can be over tomorrow, and you don't have a retirement plan here.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, and I don't feel sorry for any of them. And mainly
I don't either.
Because, because they hear that. And here's the thing. I'm not a Tony Dungy fan. I'm not. But when it comes to what he's doing as far as that, and he's not the only one that does that, by the way. Tom McManus also does the same
thing. He does a real good talk, like a real heart-to-heart, man.
Yeah, he does a heart-to-heart. He's a big God guy, and I don't like God.
He doesn't bring God into it. I would
have
been turned off by that, but he does.
Well, that's
what
I'm saying. He must not have brought God into it, because I immediately turned the light out. As soon as God's brought into it, I turned the light out.
Most people do.
I don't want to hear it.
I didn't even know that about him.
Yeah, he's a huge guy. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have anything against it. I just don't want to hear it. Leave God at home. It's Sunday. It's football. Yes, if you were a real God guy, you wouldn't be on TV. You'd be in church. Okay, so you're not necessarily
real?
A real God guy.
I am
guy.
In church, on my couch. That's my church.
Hey, my church is the church of the NFL on Sunday. Okay?
Me and God
That's
have the best
I'm
relationship
at.
When I'm on my couch watching
That's
baseball.
That's right.
That's when we're the closest. Okay.
But
really?
Anyway, that's another story in itself.
That's how we roll, right? That's our religion.
Yeah. So now,
should we change our category to religious now? Spirituality.
Yeah, there you go.
Join the couch potato and the Red Sox fan, and
we'll talk religion.
Share some tips. How to get closer to God.
Matter of fact, I was watching that. I was watching someone just won an award. I forgot what it was, and I forgot who it was, and that's how much it turned me off. As soon as they said God, I flipped the channel. Literally, I had the remote in my hand. So I heard, and I'd like to thank God, and I just clicked the damn
that's
thing.
That's horribly unfortunate. You know that? That is really unfortunate that it's become so hypocritical that people are that. Nobody should turn off the channel because they hear that, but they just know what's coming next. It's like you should.
I'll be honest with you, and I've thought about this, and I talked to Roger about this. All these quote-unquote God guys, are they – I want to know.
God doesn't even like those people, dude.
Hey, guess what? Guess what? If you're such a God guy, where's your 10% to the church? That's what I want
to
know.
How about the first rule of thumb is not to judge?
Exactly.
That's the first thing God tells you.
Yep, and that's the reason why. That's why I'm not a God guy, because
that's
it's
why a lot of young people don't really like religion much, because all they see is hypocrisy and So okay, that's another show.
But that's my all these God guys, these athletics. I want to see what.
Oh,
they're
you don't
really
like Tebow? Is that your problem? Tebow's
no,
your
the 10%. No, I want to know. I mean, you signed a $40 million contract. Okay, all right.
Wait a minute. 10% goes.
10% goes to church. It's kind of tough.
It goes to the preacher's car payment.
It's kind of tough to write that $4 million check and give it to the church. And I get it, and I understand it. I want to know if they actually do it. They're such a God person. Where's your 10%? Write that $4 million check to the church. That's what I want to know. But then again, I'm sick.
I bet you he does. I bet you he does.
I bet you Tim Tebow does.
He basically writes a check to his preacher so that his preacher can pay for his $3,000.
I bet you he does. I
bet you he does.
I believe him.
I bet he's a virgin.
Believe him.
Have you thought about that? Do you think
about it? No, I saw his girlfriend, and he's a lion sack, okay? I'm sorry.
Well, there you go. Don't talk about the money thing. Let's talk about the sex before marriage thing. We got him on that,
exactly.
Dude. There's no way.
I don't believe it for a second. He's paid that woman off to keep her mouth shut. I'm telling you.
I bet he is, though, dude. I think he might be.
Yeah, I've seen that woman. It's impossible.
He probably met her at church.
Then he's confused about his sexuality. See that girl? I mean, I'm sorry. He's 24 years old. I mean, it's impossible. Men are not built that way. I don't care how godly you are. Men are not
really
built that way
to
be
that
around
for real?
A woman that hot and have the opportunity to sleep with her whenever he wants to. There's no such thing as enough restraint to stop that. You're a man. It's impossible.
This is the kind of stuff.
Unless you're really ugly.
This is the kind of stuff that leads people
really
to live
broke.
Like two lives. You know, you got the
exactly.
Facebook life, and then you got like the I got to get my, you know, physical whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You guys call it.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Hey, and if I'm wrong, so be it. But I'm going to tell
know.
You right now.
It's interesting.
I don't think about this a lot, but I do think about the 10% to the church because God
I think
people,
about the virginity more. I just can't fathom
maybe
it,
it's
dude.
Because I'm 46 and I forgot about all that stuff. So, you know, maybe, I don't know. But that's a different story.
I
but
just
anyway,
kind of think it would be too tempting, dude, as that.
And that woman walks around in bikinis all day.
Who is it?
I don't know. Put in Tim Tebow girlfriend, and he's had a bevy of women all over. But the girlfriend in high school, the girlfriend in college, don't give me that crap, man. Hey, man. I'm not that naive. I'm just not.
I mean, you can't. I don't know, man. God doesn't even really want you to be that naive. He does want you to try some stuff in life, you know.
He wants you to sin so you can ask him for forgiveness and I'm in
right.
That long line.
You have to test yourself somehow. I mean, take a risk, drink a beer, whatever.
Oh, my gosh, we've just gone really politically incorrect.
Okay.
All right.
I'm out.
Anyway, I got to go. I do got to go, but I need you to call me in 5 minutes. Or shoot me back your telephone number, and when I'm ready within 5 minutes, I'll give you a call back. In other words, I have to hit the restroom.
I'll wait for that. Okay.
All right. Send me your telephone number or call me in 5 minutes. One of the two.
All righty, dude.
All right. Later.
Bye.